Maybe we should just play some music in this segment. Since,
yeah, right.
That'd be great.
Since we've got him here.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we
That's right. I walked all the way over to WGN to play some music. I don't think so.
I think for most of the 70s, every evening right before 6 o'clock, I'd always say, John Recordings Landecker is next.
That's you would.
And there he is.
And here we are.
Right there.
Nice to see both of you.
It's great to see you, too. It's not recordings, it's records.
Yes.
We're usually... it was a thing. It was a Serratas.
Yeah.
I should say we have the Love Lab at this time normally, but John has preempted the Love Lab.
Which we are in the Love Lab with John, because we love
so
him.
That's why I feel so good at it.
No.
But, you know, did you know that Bob used to do something called the BS Love Counselor?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
It's really unbelievable to me that he was giving out that kind of advice. Did anybody sue you? Did anybody?
I had one of my previous wives was not particularly pleased one day.
What advice did he give her?
Why did I even open that up? Let's just move ahead. That's history. You just did a whole thing. Don't dwell in it. Okay, thank you. We're moving.
Okay, right. But you got to tell the story that you've told a billion times, really, about why your middle name is Records.
We have a better solution than that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's on this CD. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
John has some interview highlights and little bits on a CD
that goes
along with the book, right? Records Truly is My Middle Name.
So can they play? Did I give you cut nine?
Yes, you did.
You can just roll it and it'll answer your question.
Okay,
roll it and then we'll talk about the CD and the Chicago Lighthouse also.
And I hope this is better than Cheech and Chong.
This is it is. Okay. This is something you can't get anywhere else. Okay. What can I say?
Listen what is this. Your name?
Marjorie Records Landecker.
No, that's true, right?
That's true.
Many years ago, I came waltzing into the world, right?
You certainly did.
Now, why would you name me? Why would you do that?
Because that's my maiden name. I named you Records.
And was that a tradition at the time or what?
There have been Records, John Records, for many generations.
And no one ever believes that Records is my middle name. They think it's a joke, you know.
It's no joke. Right. Records truly is your middle name.
Let's call my dad.
Hello?
Dad?
Hello, John?
Yeah.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine.
There's someone else here wants to say hello.
Hello.
Hello?
I'm putting this on the air to prove that Records truly is my middle name.
Well, that's a matter of record.
What is your version of how I got my middle name?
What is his middle name anyway?
Well, his middle name is Records.
Yes. Now, why, though?
Well, the fact of the matter is that this is your mother's maiden name.
That's right. As I've had to explain to many people many times.
I'm glad that I was able to make a contribution to the situation.
You always did really like this rock and roll music, didn't you, Dad?
There's nothing closer to my heart.
I don't think I ever heard that. You did that on the radio in the 70s, right?
Yeah, over there at Stone Container Building.
Yeah.
My mom came in one night and decided to do that and called my dad.
And then did it have anything to do with what you chose as your profession?
No.
No?
Not really. It turned out that I became a disc jockey, but I was interested more in the total radio picture than just playing music. It just so happened that I grew up and was a teenager at the time that rock and roll was coming in on the radio. But way before that, I was interested in other parts of broadcasting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So maybe your name should have been Radio. John Radio.
Or Download, or Compact Disc, or any of the other things that people ask me. So, hey, is middle name now? Is your middle name CD now?
The book was really great fun to read. If you haven't picked it up, the autobiography, Records Truly is My Middle Name, and now the companion CD by the same name. And there are many interview highlights on the CD, and all of the profits are being donated to the Chicago Lighthouse.
That's right.
And we just heard from your dad, so explain the connection.
My father was blind. He was a blind college professor at the University of Michigan ever since I never saw my father with sight. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, did he have an accident?
No, he had a natural biological phenomenon, I think, that if it happened today, he'd be fixed out the door, like probably in an outpatient.
And the Chicago Lighthouse, a nonprofit organization, they've been around for a long time.
Well, over 100 years.
Helping folks who are sight impaired.
Yes, and they do unbelievable work. I've been involved with them off and on for a long time. They have a special radio station over there called Chris Radio, which is a special broadcast band for people who have certain limitations and have purchased these or donated these receivers that pick up this one frequency that we don't get on our regular media.
Oh, is that where people read the newspaper?
Yes. Yeah, you did that. Sure you did.
Yeah.
Magazines, whatever. You just go in there and read.
So the profits from the CD go to the Chicago Lighthouse.
Right.
How can people get the CD?
You can go online to recordstrulyismymiddlename.com, and that will send you to where the CD is. By the way, I want to mention, too, that Bob Surratt wrote part of the book.
Okay,
Records Truly Is My Middle Name.
Well, not really.
Yeah, you
what
did.
What do you mean?
He contributed to the book.
I was interviewed.
With facts.
I was interviewed.
No, with stories.
I had a few stories.
All right, so let me ask you about that. So how did you manage to, I mean, it's not easy to sit down and write a book and to, you know, carve out time and to put it all in order and to make the book happen. I mean, it's like, it's a great idea, but then executing it is not always that easy. What was your process?
Well, you know why Bob will never write a book?
Yes, I think I do, but I'm
because
not sure.
He's never out of a job. The first thing that has to happen is you don't have a job for an extended period of time. And then somebody, Rick Kemper, my producer, said, hey, you know what? All those stories that we told around the campfires back in those radio days. Rick, I did a morning show in Chicago for 10 years throughout the 90s and early into this century. God, does that sound weird? And so Leslie Kiling, by the way, who's up there in traffic somewhere,
is
on the CD because George Carlin came into this morning show, and Leslie worked with me at the time, and he is on the CD.
He was hysterical.
He was hysterical, and it's very dark. He was on a few weeks, days before 9/11 and did this bit about how he love to see people die. And
it's kind of like it when a lot of people die. It was going to be the name of his new HBO special.
Yeah. So he goes on for about, how long is that? We got it down to about 3 minutes and 46 seconds. And you've never heard it unless you were listening that morning.
Oh, what station was that on?
WJMK 104.3.
And by the way, the reason I'm not writing a book is I'm not disciplined enough to do it. That's
that's my problem too. Discipline.
Disciplining Bob or just discipline in general?
No, in general. I mean, you still have to make time.
Both.
Even if you're not working.
Rick is the power behind the book. Rick Kemper.
So what did he make you do? How did
he would
that
come
happen?
Out to my house and I would sit down and talk into a tape recorder for hours, and he'd go back and transcribe it and send it to me. And then after a while I decided, you know, if I'm going to write a book, I'm going to write a book. So then I decided to write some things, and then he cobbled it all together, and it took quite a while, actually.
Like how long?
3 years, off and on. And what's shocking to me, humbling, whatever the word is supposed to be, is how well-received the book is. I was invited to Chicago Tonight as an author. I was like blowing my mind.
Yeah, I saw that.
I said to Phil Ponce,
because
I said,
are.
Phil, what am I doing on this program?
No, because you are an author.
Phil, you guys, I said, this show has standards.
Well, I lowered them when I was there.
Oh, no, not true.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and let's hear from Harry Carey and Tina Turner on this CD.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
More with John Recordings Landecker after this. There's nothing wrong with your radio. It's John Landecker joining us. He's got the CD out now to go along with his autobiography, Records Truly Is My Middle Name. Many famous people on this CD, and all the proceeds go to the Chicago Lighthouse.
Let me give a pitch, okay? Here is why you should buy this CD. Number one, it is a fantastic cause, the Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind. Number two, the CD really does not feature me at all. As I was making this thing, I eliminated me. I'm out here. No, we're not going to do that. Not going to do that. Not going to do that. What we have here are celebrities that you know and love in situations that you've never heard them in before and possibly will never hear them again. Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner, Katherine Johns and I were doing the show at the time. They came on the phone because they had the 2,000-year-old man, and it was the year 2000. This is one of the most hysterical 13 minutes you will ever spend in your entire life.
You've got the whole 13 minutes on this CD?
Yeah. They start riffing on each other on the phone. They start ad-libbing. I just shut up.
How do people get it?
RecordsTrulyIsMyMiddleName.com.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Well, John's going to go door to door at night. He's got time. Believe me, he's got time.
Thank you. Between times I have to talk, I must have 20 minutes. I could be talking.
Yeah, you could be.
You should be talking more, by the way. You know,
that's
you know what? Seriously?
That's the title of my next book.
I should be talking more.
Yeah.
No, you really should, because I'm listening to
talk
you.
Talk to Todd.
And then I'm like, by the time I get somewhere, I still didn't hear your voice.
I know.
But I heard the music that I've heard all my life.
Oh, my God.
Which is great, but I want to hear you. That's why
just like being at home.
But this is why.
See what I'm up against, noon to three?
Why have you there if you're not going to be talking? What's the problem?
I got to go now.
Yeah,
right? I don't know.
You go get him, girl.
Who is managing that? Who is it? Seriously, I don't know. Anymore.
Okay.
All right.
Let's play a cut from the CD, shall we?
Let me just. George Harrison.
Oh, he's on there too.
15 minutes with George Harrison. A very vocal George Harrison, relaxed, talking about everything.
I want to hear
talking about
that.
How he wrote "My Sweet Lord," talking about what it was like with the Beatles. Would the Beatles get back together again? Because that was a possibility at
so
the time.
So was that when he was on the solo tour?
Prior, he had just been sued for "My Sweet Lord" by the people who do "He's So Fine."
Yeah.
So we talk about that, and He talks about how he came up with "My Sweet Lord," and then I ask him about meditation and all that, and I asked him how'd you get into that, and he goes, well, to be truthful, it was the dreaded LSD.
Wow.
So,
I want to hear this.
Giving you a copy.
Did you see Living in the Material World?
Oh, sure.
The Scorsese.
He's
film.
And
fabulous.
We kept a little bit of behind the scenes at the end of the Harrison, because the interview stops and I have him cut a liner. So you hear me say to him, hey, George, listen, can you say this? John Landecker, Thursday Night W. So that's something you don't usually get.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do, Harry Carey? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, let's hear this. This is Harry on your show and telling his famous Elvis story.
That's right.
Right? And
yeah.
We have a part of that right now. Let's listen to it.
Tell us about the time you met Elvis. You know, I watched that.
Oh, that's too long a story. And, you know, it's early in the morning and we both have other work to do.
Now, wait a minute.
They can read it in my book. They can read it in Vine Line. It's a great story. It's the truth. And this is one of the occasions when the truth sounds like fiction.
When we read in the paper about your thing with Bob Costas on that special, he even said in the paper, in the Tribune, make sure you hear Harry Carey's story about meeting Elvis Presley. Then I go to watch the TV show. The story's not on there. Then we get a hold of the production staff. They say they edited it out and it's in some sort of lost limbo somewhere, and somebody else called and said read the book. So I thought I'd ask you about it.
John, I tell you, I've been longer on with you than I wanted to be, and you know, it's an early in the morning, got a lot of things to do.
I had him tell that story a few times. It's a great story. Basically, Elvis listened to Cardinals baseball, and he knew about Harry, right?
Oh, I don't know. Harry never told the story.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's,
can't you
that's
tell?
What happened.
I was a very
Elvis called Harry, I guess, because he knew Harry was in Memphis for some sporting event, and Harry gets the call. And he thinks, yeah, sure, this is Elvis, but
it's Elvis.
It's Elvis. Harry goes downstairs in front of the hotel. Elvis has his driver pick him up, takes him to Graceland, and they spend the evening together at Graceland. Doing what?
Okay.
I don't know.
I waited 25 years to find out what that friggin' story is, and now I got it from Bob Sarai. My life is complete.
I have a version
of
that.
Thank you very much. Goodbye, everybody.
Some interview or some show that I did with Harry, I had him tell that whole story. And let me tell you, he drags it out. It's about 18 minutes long, but it's hysterical.
Well, there's also Jay Leno, Tina Turner, Tom Hanks, Valerie Harper, and Mary Tyler Moore. All of these are sort of unique situations. Mary Tyler Moore was promoting a book and was in a studio in New York. So the quality of her voice was just like there, as if she was in the studio with us, and she wasn't.
Well, set up this Tina Turner.
Oh, it'll take care of itself.
All right, here you go.
Yeah, we're back with Tina Turner. Hey, now tell me, what do you think about sex anyway?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's all a part of living.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think it's stimulating.
Yeah.
And I think it's everything that everybody relates to, but some people sort of hide it, you know, for their own personal reasons. But I think it's something that should be exercised and something to have fun with.
Well, from the way you walk, to the way you sing, to the way you dance, to the way you handle a microphone on certain occasions.
You're not anymore.
Was that the way you opened up many of your interviews? As, hey, what do you think about sex? No hello, no warming up in the bullpen, nothing. You go right there.
If you heard it, we're back with Tina Turner.
Oh, okay.
I've already been on with Tina Turner. And that is the only time I've ever asked a guest that question.
From The Loop in 1983.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you Tom never guessed Hanks. Who was there. Oh, Jim DeCastro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, our fearless leader here.
Yeah.
So what's the Tom Hanks...
Just going to have to get that CD and find out.
I know. I want to hear everything on this.
It's you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, and I would never have said this about the book because I've never... This is a really good CD. And by the way, if you have a teenage boy or young lad, let's say between the ages of 9 and 14, you're going to be the superhero of the holidays when you get this CD and hear cut number 13, Landecker and the Legends doing King of Farts. He will be indebted to you. He will thank you. His holiday will be made.
And that's a good one to play Christmas Eve.
Right.
With grandma and grandpa around.
I like that.
All right, get the CD, and what's the website again? What is it? Records truly is my middle name.com. Is that it?
That would be it, Bob.
Okay, and that's and all the proceeds go to the Chicago Lighthouse, a favorite charity of John's.
And right. By the way, about the book, it's so great because it's not just your story. I mean, it's a real look at what was going on in radio during that time.
Thank
it's
you.
Really amazing.
And I finally figured out what was happening after 6
yeah,
o'clock
Bob
at night.
Like, Bob was like really, he was reading the book and he said, oh, that's where he was going?
After I left, that's what happened. I left, and that's what happened. I left the building,
why
and that's what happened.
Why didn't you include him in all your things?
Well, what are we talking about now?
I mean, going down, you mean, wait a minute.
I'm not sure.
He was included in some of those things.
Yeah, I was.
They're just not in the book.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you about that some other time.
Okay.
When we were Cheech and Chonging, as it
yeah,
were.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, well. Yes. Wolfman Jack, there are many stories to be told.
Wolfman Jack, yeah.
Volume 2 someday. Right. All right, John. Well,
we
good,
love having
good
you
to, good to catch up with you, and we will... try to find your voice sometime tonight.
And I'll give you
good
copies,
luck.
Give you copies of the thing, and if you hear something you like, and in the future you want to plug it for the charity, feel please.
Okay, you
know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I can count on you, Marianne. I don't know about Bob, but you're going to be on top of it.
Tell them over there where you work that you need to be on the air a little bit more because it's really annoying to people who are tuning in to hear you and they can't.
Just listen to WGN. John's here. He talks here more than on the station where he works now.
This is worth about 20 days of work.
20 days? 20 years.